Hebrews chapter number 11. And amen, it's a good one, praise God. There's a few chapters in your Bible you can't go wrong preaching none of it, but there's some chapters in your Bible just somebody says it and thank God you pick a place anywhere in it and it'll work. Amen. Hebrews chapter number 11, you find that place. If you can and able, let's stand to our feet and we'll give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Bible begins, we'll start reading there in verse number 8. Bible said in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, that by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, he obeyed and he went out, not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Amen. Amen. Thank God. Praise the Lord. That felt real good right there. He said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, him as good as dead, as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Notice the next two verses particularly. He said, for they that say such things, I declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But thank God, the next verse says this, but now they desire a better country, that is the heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time, and God in heaven, we thank you for everything you've done for us tonight. God in heaven, we thank you for what you've been doing. Lord, we'd ask you for a few minutes of time. Oh God, you'd stir up our heart. Father, I pray our affection be set on high. I'd ask you, Lord, that you'd please put a guard at my stammering tongue and to help me, Lord, to say only those things that bring you glory and honor and exaltation. Father, I pray that you'd help us tonight. God, not to be a tinkling cymbal nor sounding brass. But God, I pray, help us to cry loud and spare not. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd stir in our heart. Save those tonight that need to be saved. And Father, I pray, help those, and Lord, that need a help. God, we love you. And Lord, we thank you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Of course, those of you maybe that's not hardly as familiar with it, Hebrews chapter 11, we'd call it the hall of faith. That is to say that everybody in this passage, old friend, I mean every one of them, and thank God there are folks that God moved on and moved in a very special way. But I got to thinking about this, and particularly about Abraham, who was called out of the Ur of the Chaldees and went down there, down to Paran, and went so forth as God was calling him into that promised land. And thank God the Bible said he didn't even know where he was going. He was just a following God. Amen. I mean, the listening friend did not have any idea, and thank God, where that thing was going to land at. All he was doing was a following God. And God promised him there'd be an inheritance. He said, truly, if he'd been mindful of that country from whence he came out, he might have had opportunity to have returned. But oh, I like that verse in verse 16. He said, but now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, and wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. perfect. If you were to ask Abraham, no doubt where he was going, he'd have told you, I don't know where it's at, but thank God it's better than here. Amen. If the Lord help me, I'd like to preach on this thought. And why would I stay here when I got a better place to go? Amen. And why would I stay here, thank God, and when I've got a better place to go? Let me just stop right here and say, aren't you thankful that you've got a better place to go than this? I mean, listen, I thank God. That friend, that despite what Joel Osteen said, I thank God, friend, I'm not living my best life now. I mean, thank God, you ain't even seen life start to begin. I mean, I know the Bible said the thief cometh not, but for to steal, kill, and to destroy. He said, but I come they might have life and have it more abundantly. And thank God, and I believe I've got it. Amen. As far as having life abundantly. But you ain't seen nothing yet. Amen. I mean, I don't care how good it gets down here. It doesn't compare to what it's going to be on the other side. Lord, give me a few things that I'd like to share with you tonight. The first thing to say is, I mean, there were some folks who was down in Egypt. And no doubt, friend, why in the world would they want to stay down there? And when they got a better place to go. Can you imagine on that day when they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel, and they're just standing there coming by that place and saying, why wouldn't you just like to stay here? And say, well, there ain't a chance in this world. Why would they want to stay in the world when they got a better place to go? Let me remind you of this tonight, friend. I mean, we might be in this world, but thank God we are not of it. Amen. And every time that, thank God, every day that this thing goes longer, I feel more and more like an alien and a little more like a stranger every single day. I mean, thank God, listen, why in the world would you want to stay in the world? You know, the Bible says it like this. Over in the book of Exodus 1:1, he called them their taskmasters. And in other words, I got to think about this. And the way that Egypt held people in bondage, that was it gave them a whole bunch of tasks and said, this is what you got to do. How to be like the world. Amen. And thank God we've got them today. I mean, everybody and the whole brother running around trying to do worldly tasks to the detriment of their soul and their spirit. Why in the world would I want to stay there? I mean, listen to me. Let me say it like this. Why in the world would I want to go down to Nashville and to listen to somebody say, how about somebody in their pickup truck drinking liquor, and when I can come to the house of God and listen to them say about Beulah Land? I mean, thank God. Hey, thank God. I've got a better place to go. Amen. Why would I want to stay in the world? Why would I want to do those things? And when I can come to the house of God, go to a prayer meeting. Amen. I show up where, listen, I mean, thank God, where the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords shows up and does things nobody else can do. Amen. I mean, why in the world? I got faith in my tears. Let me say this. Maybe there's some folks today. I mean, listen, I'm not, everybody's not spiritual. We know that. I mean, there's some folks, thank God, even in the house of God, that their ties and their roots in this world are a little stronger than they ought to be. But I tell you, if you're going to be a pilgrim, my friend, you're going to have to detach yourself. You can't let them stakes run too deep in this world. Amen. Oh, listen to me, friend. Why in the world would you want to be a slave when God said you could be free? Amen. I mean, listen to these folks tonight that thank God that they're in the world and they act like they ain't a slave to it. But thank God whenever the world starts playing music, they start dancing. Amen. And when the world says this is where you ought to go, thank God that's where they ought to go. But I'm glad according to Romans chapter 6, chapter 5 even, and thank God in chapter 6 verse 20, I am no longer a servant to sin. Amen. I thank God, listen, I'm glad the Bible said, if the Son therefore hath made you free, I thank God didn't set us free, he made us that way. If the Son therefore hath made you free, you're free indeed. Amen. Why would I want to be like a slave when I can be free? Let me say this to you. How in the world would I want to live under the curse when I can live under the promise? Amen. I mean, listen, thank God. Hey, if you're living down in Egypt, friend, I mean, you're under the curse of this world. Hey, look up here at me. I don't know if you know it,
it, but this whole world is damned. Amen. I mean, one of these days, thank God, according to the book of Hebrews, he's going to shake everything once more, that only those things that cannot be shaken shall remain. He's going to burn the whole thing. He's going to burn, thank God, he's going to burn every Babe Ruth card. He's going to burn every CD. He's going to burn every home. Every Mercedes will burn, amen. I mean, thank God, the banks will burn and the gold will melt down. And thank God, listen, I want you to understand this. And the minute, thank God, and I check out of here, I've got an inheritance waiting on the other side. Why would I want to stay under this sin-cursed world? And when I've got a promise, I got a better place to go, amen. I mean, they're standing over there living in Egypt. And thank God, they show up. And God says, I've got a land that's flowing with milk and honey. And now why would I want to stay? I mean, why would I want to stay down into Egypt? And whenever God's promised me a better place, I'm going to listen to me. I want you to, I hope you'll hear me tonight. I hope you'll listen to what I'm saying. Hey, some folks, listen. Have there no doubt in my mind? I mean, listen, if you had any idea how good it really is how to be born again and to surrender your life to Christ and just to serve Him, how to yield yourself, how to get away from the things of the world, how to lay your body down as a sacrifice on an altar and say, God, here I am, use me. How you'd find out, thank God, He's the reason why we shout, amen. He's the reason why we run. He's the reason why we pray. It's because, thank God, I've got a better place to go, amen. Boy, I thank God for it. Aren't you glad you got a better place? Amen. I mean, I could be still yet down in Egypt. I could be a slave, but now I'm free. I could be under the curse, but now, thank God, I'm under the promise. I even thought about, look here, neighbor, over there in Genesis chapter 50, I think it is, verse number 25, even Joseph, when he's getting ready to die, he said, now listen, I want you to hear me. Look at me, friend. He said, I'm going to die. And he said, but you got to make me a promise. He said, you don't leave my bones down here. Amen. Boy, that stirs my soul. He said, you don't leave my bones down in Egypt. And to thank God, whenever our brother Jonah, whenever that death angel came by, and whenever, thank God, God showed up and they got ready to go, and Moses gets ready to load them all up. He said, thank God we came. He said, somebody go get Joseph's bones. Amen. And bless God for 40 years. Every time they stopped and every time they got up, they got them old bones of Joseph. And when they got over there in the promised land, and thank God for everything Joseph was, and the one thing got him in the hall of faith, and was the Bible said, he spake concerning his bones, amen. In other words, it's like this. He didn't even want not one and dust, not one femur, not one anything that he had to be left in Egypt, amen. So we got a better place to go. Well, I'm glad for that. Thank God. 430 years, depending on how different places, how you count it. And another place said 400. That's not a contradiction in Scripture. It depends on where you start counting, amen. And but they was down there for 400 long years. And brother, have no doubt. And it got close to that time, somebody started saying, hey, boy, we got a better place awaiting on us, amen. And said, one of these days, we're not going to be slaves no more. And I thank God for it, amen. Oh, but listen, let me say this. I got to thinking about over there in the book of Ruth, amen. I mean, I'm glad, thank God, I've got a better place to go. And I ain't got to be in Egypt in the world. But I want to say this to you. I thank God I got a better place to go. I don't have to be down in the land of Moab, which is the wash pot, amen. Now listen to me, friend. I mean, I'm telling you, God got dealing my heart about this. And I've been in every one of these places. But boy, what a sad place to be. I'm down in the land of Moab. I mean, listen, I went through a little famine in your life. I went through a little time of difficulty. And you said, I believe I'll just go back to Moab. Amen. And thank God, listen, and just settle on your lees. That's what the Bible says about Moab. And so thank God they stopped being emptied from place to place and settled down on their lees. What that means is this. You You could be in Moab and be sitting at 1570 at McBroom Street, Jamestown, Tennessee. I mean, you could be right here at bodily, but spiritually, you're way off in the land of Moab. Has something happened down in your life? And to thank God you said, instead of being sold out to God, I believe I'll just go where things look better. Amen. How many they look like? How they look better? Amen. But I'm going to tell you, thank God, that looks can be deceiving. Amen. Oh, listen, I'll tell you this, friend. And why in the world would you want to live down in Moab and be empty when you can be in the land of Bethlehem and be full? Amen. I mean, listen, she said, she showed back up in town and she said, call me no more Naomi, Brother Ipok. I said, call me Mara. And she said, for the Lord hath dealt bitterly with me. Oh my. Ain't it something how sometimes we'll get to blaming God for something we did to ourselves? God didn't make her leave, amen, and to go down there. God didn't make Elimelech head down there. And God didn't make him go in that place. But boy, when things get bad, we've forsaken the things of God and go out in the world. And when things get bad, they say, God, why did you do this to me? Amen. Oh, listen, thank God. I'm glad. I wish one of these days, and I get to heaven, Brother Crabtree, I'm going to know who that feller was. But Brother Savage, somebody came down there and they said, hey, Naomi, hey, you're looking pretty rough. But I got good news. There's bread back in Bethlehem. And thank God. Amen. And there's bread back in Bethlehem. Hey, you ain't got to sit down here in Moab and be empty. Amen. Hey, you can go back to Bethlehem. And thank God nobody checked her ID. And nobody asked her about her past. And she showed up in Bethlehem. And she got full. Amen. Aren't you glad for that? And now here's the problem. Nobody ever intends to build a house in Moab. You can find in chapter number 1, verse number 1, their intentions, the Bible said, was to sojourn. That is, they were going to pause in Moab. Hey, they thought, well, this is what the devil does. He'll say, won't you just take a break, amen. And praise God, won't you tell him to take a break, amen. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, thank God. He'll show up, amen. And he'll say, won't you just take a break and just smell it in this time and just settle down. You deserve just a little rest. And you'll say, all right, I'll take that. And verse number 1, they're sojourning. And verse number 2, the Bible said they continued there. Oh my. I'll tell you, I found a lot of folks. I used to be on fire for God. Hey, found them just a little spot to pause. And the next thing they know, they're still a pausing. Amen. Hey, you know what verse number 3 said? Verse number 3 said like this. Verse 1 said they sojourned. Verse 2 said they continued. And verse 3 said they dwelled there. Amen. It said 10 years, thank God. And done came and went. And they're still down in Moab. And they're still empty. Amen. But they could be full. How could I tell you this? Now listen, I hope this won't offend you. But I'll tell you what I pray just about every single day. And I pray it over all of us. But I particularly pray it over our youngest. That God would fill them up with the Holy Ghost of God. Now, I know, listen, I know when we get in, I ain't talking about no second blessing. I know we get all of Him. But I'm telling you, thank God, if He's going to stay filled up, we're going to have to keep some things out of our lives, amen. And so I just say, fill Him up. And God, get out what needs to get out. Hey, it's no sense in being in the house of God empty. And whenever God's already told you, He wants you to be full, amen. There's no sense in being in the house of God. I mean, I'm not going. I got a better place to go. Why would I sit down in Moab, sit there and watch people die all around me? Watch everybody starve to death? And to think, well, I believe I'll stay here. Why would you stay there if you know there's a better place to go? Then listen, not only she come. I mean, she could have been full instead of being empty. But thank God, I want you to know this. She could have been pleasant instead of being bitter. Amen. Oh, how many folks in the house of God, how many are bitter over what's happened in their life? She come back, she said, everybody called me bitter. Oh, Nathan, what nobody had to say it. And bitterness shows up on you. Amen. Somebody help me right there. heaven, thank God. And you get to looking at that and you get bitter. And, but I'm telling you, I got a better place to go. How, why in the world would I sit somewhere and get bitter when I can go somewhere else and get better? Amen. I mean, why would I sit here, thank God, I mean, down in Moab and just get bitter over everything's happening when I know I can go up to Bethlehem and thank God no longer when I be Mara, but I get go back to being pleasant? Why would you stay there when you got a better place to go? I tell you this, I mean, listen, you can stay down in Moab and it can be the end, or you can go back to Bethlehem and it can be a new beginning. I mean, no doubt she's standing down there and she thinks, man, my life's over. My husband's dead. My boys is dead. She said, girls, go back to the world. Go back to the world. Head on back, John. She said, this thing's over. Said, I can't raise up no more boys. My life's over. But you know, in chapter number 4, whenever all of a sudden you get together and you see old Boaz come up and he hooks up with Miss Ruth and they get married and thank God they have a little baby and that baby's name is Obed. How much you know what everybody down there in Israel calls it? You know who they say whose son it is? They don't call it Ruth's son. They said this here's Naomi's son. And you know what that's the name? Praise God, praise God. Oh, Naomi in chapter number 1. And she thought she was at the end of her life. But bless God, there was a better place to go. Amen. And by the time you come to the end, everybody says this fella's going to be a restorer of thy life, a nourisher of thy ways. I'm telling you, thank God, don't stay in Moab. Amen. Why would you do that when you got a better place to go? I got thinking about Luke chapter 15. That old prodigal son. Why would you stay in the far country when you got a better place to go? Why would you? See, that's the first one's the world. And the second one, I mean, you get over there, that's the washpot. You get over there in Luke chapter number 15, you'll find out that's the place of waste. How many this fella done wasted his whole life? Wasted his inheritance. Wasted, praise God. Nobody in here's ever wasted nothing, I don't guess. How many wasted his talent? Wasted his dad's good name? Wasted his family's inheritance? Wasted everything he could have been? And he's standing down there and the Bible said he joined himself to a citizen of that country. Thank God. And he said, I believe this is as good as it'll ever get for me. I'd say if you came and visited him, Rodney, he said, I deserve this. I deserve to eat with a swine. I mean, this is all I ever deserve to be right here where I'm at. But thank God one fine day, sweet Holy Ghost came his way and reminded him of who he was. He said he came to himself. Amen. I could just about run 3 or 4 laps on that. He came to himself. You know what he said? And why would I stay here when I got a better place to go? Amen. Amen. Thank God. Thank God. Why in the world would you stay down there when you got a better place to go? He's standing down there. No doubt he's hungry. He ain't got no shoes on his feet. Ain't got no food in his belly. Ain't got no clothes on his back. Ain't had a bath in days. Looks homeless like a drug addict. And thank God down in that place, everybody around him don't want nothing to do with him. Even the hogs down there is fighting with him for food. And instead that old feller one day says, I got a better place to go. Hey, thank God, you know what happened? He got tired of being where he was at. Amen. Hey, I thank God, friend, for the day that I got tired of being where I was at. I came to myself and said, there's a better place to go. Amen. You got, listen, I'll tell you this. I didn't have to. I mean, listen, I'm a better place to go. I mean, I thank God. Listen, why in the world would I be hungry when I can be satisfied? Why would you be empty when you can be full? Why would you be a citizen of one country when you can be an ambassador of the greatest one that's ever been? I mean, thank God. Why would you be a beggar when you can be royalty? And why would you be a servant when you can be a son? Why would you be naked when you can be clothed? I mean, why would you be on the outside? I thank God when you could be on the inside. Amen. You remember that when the Lord came by your way
And you said, I've wasted my life up to this point. Anybody in here, you don't have to raise your hand. But you say, I've wasted my life. But you know, praise God. One of my favorite passages where the Lord over there and he gets to talking about it. He says he'll restore the years that the cankerworms took away. Are you listening to me? Now let me explain that. Can I explain that to you? That means they had a harvest. They'd been sowing. And every time they'd sowed something good come up, them cankerworms came. And they wasted that whole thing away. But boy, when they got right with God, and God said that he could restore those years that the cankerworms took away. Brother Ty, you know how he did that? Praise God, I'm telling you, that makes me so happy. I can jump about five pews, amen. You know how he done that, Brother Matt? He made the years ahead more fruitful than the years behind. I mean, listen, I'll tell you what God done. He said, all those years you thought was wasted, if you'll give me what's left, I'll thank God I'll make them more fruitful than anything that's behind you that's been wasted, amen. Why would you live there when you got a better place to go? Why would you? Hey, some folks, thank God, listen, they've thrown in the towel on their life. I mean, honestly. You know, that's why Steve Wright sends a message and says, don't give up on me. Because in his mind, he's done give up on himself. He done says, as far as I can look around, there's no reason anybody else could have get it and want to help me, want to love me, whatever case may be. But thank God he don't know that the Lord. How you say, preacher, I've done messed this thing up so far. Well, that thief did too. Y'all listen to me. I must have done preached too long. Amen. I mean, that thief there, he didn't even have time to produce fruit. And yet he's got the same inheritance that you got. Praise God. I mean, I'm glad that I ain't got to live there. I ain't got to live in a far country. I'm going to be honest with you. That far country ain't so far sometimes. That far country, I mean, you look here, you ain't got to be sitting on a bar stool tonight to be in a far country. Be sitting in the house of God in that mind right there being a far country even while you're sitting right here. That heart right there being a far country, even while your body's as close as it can be. But I think, listen, I mean, look here, I know y'all get tired of me preaching about that, but it don't make no difference. I ain't never got tired of telling it, amen. Boy, when he topped that hill that day, found out he had a better place to go, he tops that hill on one side. On the other side, all he sees is a cloud of dust. Amen. At the Father's feet, just a plugging away. That stirred up old dust field while he's a running to his boy. I'm telling you, thank God. He thought he'd have to sleep in the servants' quarters. But he found out that the daddy hadn't sold his bed just yet. Amen. I mean, thank God, friend. Why would I live there when I got a better place to go? Can I give you a couple, three or four, five more? That'd be all right. Why in the world would I live in my past when I got a better place to go? I'm going to have to read this. I thought I quoted it, but I'm going to have to read it. Y'all get your Bibles with me. Let's look over in Philippians chapter 3. I've probably told you this, and I may not have, but my pride's getting to me a little bit. After I get to preaching, Brother Nathaniel, I can't see the little letters in my Bible, and I ain't broke down, been willing to get readers just yet, amen. But it's a coming in the next days or two, amen. Philippians chapter number 3, I want you to turn over there with me. Boy, what a blessed passage of Scripture. I've told many a people this, and if it was a passage of Scripture or verses had helped me more than these, I don't know what it would be in my Christian walk with the Lord. Philippians chapter number 3, I want you to see this. And verse number 13. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Let me just stop right there and say, why would I live in the things that are behind me when I can press forward to the things that are before me? I mean, listen, the devil has set up a residence in some people's lives. I mean, they've
build up an entire suburb about some mistake that they made. And every time you talk to them, all they are is living in the past at what they used to be. Why would I live there when I got a better place to go? Why would I? I'm not going to reside. Look here. Look, everybody look up here at me. I don't reside in 1998 anymore. I don't reside in 1992. Why would I keep looking way back there? I'm not even living back there no more. All those are is ghosts and old man's stories. That's all they are. There's some folks that asked my boys the other day. Hey, said, your dad not never tell you no stories about when he growed up? You ask any of my boys sitting right here. The answer is absolutely not. Those are of no use of godly edification. I don't live there no more. I got a hold of that stuff, Brother Jonah. How long, 1999? In June at an old meeting. I got down, I put those things underneath the blood. And as far as I'm concerned, if God cleansed them and washed them and put them behind me, why in the world would I want to keep digging them old things back up? They ain't a part of my testimony. They ain't a part of what I am. Thank God, I'm telling you, I put those things there. I said, Lord, would you cleanse me? I believe he done it. And there ain't no point in me keep visiting a house that's empty. Amen. I don't live there no more. You ought not either. Why would you want to live there? I mean, why would you want to live in the past when you can live right here? Why would you want to look behind you when you can look ahead, what's ahead of you? Why would you want to look at all your losses when you can be living where you gained? I know. Listen, I know who I'm preaching to. And if we took a minute and stopped and looked behind us, we'd see loss after loss after loss. And I don't know why that seems to be all we can see sometimes. Well, the devil's faithful to remind you of everything you've lost. Is that right, Rodney? He's faithful. Cohen, he'll be faithful. He'll bring them things up that you lost. But I tell you, he don't ever want you to look at what you're going to gain. Paul got that thing just exactly right. He said, those things that you thought was loss and I thought was gain. He said, now I count them things loss. And he said, these things over here that you count loss. He said, thank God I count them as gain. I'm telling you, thank God, friend, I've got a better place to go. Don't you? Oh, listen, let me say this. I'm done. I'll be done. Why in the world would you want to die and go to hell and live under the wrath of God when you got a better place to go? Brother Mike, I don't understand it. I mean, we can go over there. And I mean, here's the question I guess that I'm asking you. Why in the world would you want to live in sorrow? I'm telling you, in time, Brother Joe, when the time comes, and the young or old, and death finds you where it finds you at, that is your home. The rich man ain't got out of hell yet. And Lazarus ain't left heaven. Amen. Amen. I mean, the rich man's still there. Now the question is, why in the world would you want to live where there's sorrow when you could live where there's so much joy? Why would you want to live in darkness when you could live where there's light? Why in the world would you want to live in eternal separation when you could spend the rest of your life together with the Lord Jesus Christ? Why would you want to? I mean, I don't understand it. Why would you want to live in the flames of an eternal fire when instead you can be basking in the light of an eternal glory? Why you won't live there? Why you won't live there? Listen to me. I wish to God that folks realize that even right now, if you're lost, you've got a residence in hell. I want you to listen to me. We probably don't preach on it near enough, but I'm going to tell you this. There's a default option if you make no decision for Christ. You came born into this world with your back against God and a residing place in hell. And I don't know about you,
But on July 2nd, 1988, I'm going to fondly refer to that as moving day. That was the day that they wrote condemned on my house in hell. And I found out I had one in heaven. You remember when that day was for you? Thank God, listen, I didn't even have to pack. Amen. Thank God the whole thing's provided. I'm not taking nothing with me. How about my reservation? Amen. I've got a reservation. Now listen, why would you die and go to hell when there's a better place to go? Stand to your feet. I've cleared my heart. I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're living in the world. Maybe you're down in Moab. Maybe you're living in your past. Maybe you're in a far country. Maybe right now, the wrath of God's abiding on you. And you know, if you died tonight, in hell you'd lift your eyes. Why would you live there? Listen, why would you be an enemy of God when, Kevin, you could change addresses and be his friend? Why would you? Why would you? As they sing some song, one of you is going to sing, they come. I don't know your need. I'm asking you simply, why are you staying where you're at when you could be in a better place?